Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. As usual, I'm your host, Cody. And we're going to wrap up the month of July and our theme for July, of course, with awesome video game franchises. As I talked about last week, this week I'll be talking about my favorite Tom Clancy games. I've picked five. It was a hard list, and I cheated some. But I'll tell you all about it when we get to the list. So for the folks out there who don't know who Tom Clancy is, Tom Clancy is a writer, a novelist. He's got a long history, and I'm not going to go fully into. But he's most famous for his military books that have been adapted into movies as well as television shows and video games. Licensed through his stories. So, for movies, the ones you would know, The Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, The Sum of All Fears, and of course, Jack Ryan, who is now going to be a television show starring John Krasinski on Amazon next month, I believe it starts. That one's based on his character. Well, most of his characters are Jack Ryan, who runs through the theme of his movies as well as a bunch of his books. And then you have video games. They've never really done a Jack Ryan video game, as far as I know. Not that I've played. But the ones I'm going to talk about today, his main series are where it all started was Rainbow Six. You had Ghost Recon, you have Splinter Cell, End War, Hawks, that's H-A-W-X, which is an H period, A period, W period, X period. You have the Division series, and that wraps up all of his actual video games. You have a couple outliers that were other ones, like there were some mobile games, but that were just, they were like mobile games of like Rainbow Six. The five that I chose, my most favorite. So I picked a couple. So the Division is, if you know me and you listen to the main podcast, you know that Joe and I and Mike as well, and even a little bit Tosh, super love the Division. It's a really fun game. We're super amped for the second one that comes out in February. I did pick the Division as one of my favorite Tom Clancy games. Along with, I would have to say Ghost Recon Wildlands, because it was drastically different than the other Ghost Recon games. Excellent, excellent game in its own right. And then I chose the Rainbow Six Vegas games as my Rainbow Six pick. So the five games that exist in there that I chose. So the Division, I haven't played the Division 2 yet, so I can't say if I love it or not, but I'm probably going to say it's going to be the same, so I will. But the Division, I would choose of the Splinter Cell games. I would probably select either, probably Conviction. Would be Conviction or Blacklist. I really did a Blacklist, but Conviction would probably be my choice for the Splinter Cell games. The Ghost Recon games, like I said, would be Wildlands. Even though I really liked Future Soldier, as well as Advanced Warfighter 1 and 2, but Wildlands is by far my favorite of those ones. And then the Vegas games, Vegas 1 and Vegas 2, were spectacular games in their own right, and really really led me into more of the games themselves. I mean, I didn't really play a lot of the early Rainbow Six games. I had Rogue Spear. I believe I had it on the Nintendo 64. Is that right? I should probably look that up. It doesn't matter. But I really got, I mean, I really played Vegas 2 so much, with Terrace Hunt, and just the main game itself is super fun. I played Advanced Warfighter 2, Future Soldier, Phantoms, and then of course Wildlands for the Ghost Recon games. And for Splinter Cell, I played all except for Pandora Tomorrow. an essential. Did I play? I didn't play Essentials. Essentials is actually the collection, right? If I'm not mistaken, I'm looking right now. Oh no, that was game. Yeah, I played that game. Never mind. I played that one. So I didn't play. I didn't play Pandora Tomorrow. But I loved Double Agent was fun too. But I liked Conviction the best of those ones. And of course, like I said, The Division 1 is my favorites. I would say of all those games, The Division is probably the one I put the most hours into. The one I like playing the most. I burnt through Wildlands pretty quickly. Against the likings of both Taj and not so much Joe. Joe didn't really care. He played it on his own too. But Taj wanted to play it with me, and I burnt through it pretty quickly. But super fun game. Mike played that one too. That's it for those ones. So those are my favorite ones, and I'll go a little bit more of those particular games I liked. So we'll start with Vegas and Vegas 2. Those ones are really cool, and if you haven't played those games and you like first-person shooters, you should check them out. They're pretty amazing. The reason I like them both, and they made the list and made me want to do 5. The reason I said cheating earlier is I didn't really. There's other games I could have chose, but I chose those two as one, or as one and two, or two of the 5, I should say. Just because they are, I almost put them as one game. Because the story is singular, and I'll get to that right now, what I mean by that. But then I couldn't really choose a fifth one definitively, so I was like, I guess I'll just break my own thing I was going to use and just say I like both those games than I do. So those ones are on there. Vegas 1, so you basically, there's a terrorist attack in Vegas. You track this... this group too. So what makes them cool is they are the stories intertwine. So in Vegas 1, so in Rainbow Six Vegas, you play the leader of the Rainbow Six team, and There are 6 of you. It comes along in the second game where you play the other 3. The stories mimic each other. So as you go through, the events that happened in the first one are mirrored in the second one, and then it tells more of a story in the second one, which is pretty cool. And then you kind of see what you're as you do different events from the first one, your other team hears about it, and you go and you do the... you follow up with them. It's pretty, or follow the path of the terrorists as you go along. Overall, super fun and an inventive way they did it. A lot of people are like, "Oh, it's not a new game." It's like, "Oh, it doesn't have to be." It's like a really cool way of doing a sequel, but all in the same little world, because that's really where it was at. But it was pretty cool the way they did it in that one. And you get to basically play, again, like, so counter-terrorist group, you go through and there's parts where you go in and out of casinos and villas, there's a shootout on the strip, which is pretty cool. Overall, amazing game. It did have its faults because if you tried to use the command of your squad, so it was you and 2 other, NPCs, or not, I don't want to say NPCs, they're NPCs, but they're mildly controlled by, you can tell them to open fire, you can tell them to do suppressive fire, you can tell them to take cover, whatever it is. And there's a balance where you have to make sure they don't get knocked down, but if they can pick you up, if you get knocked down, and things like that, which is pretty cool. But for the most part, what I really did is I told them to kind of take cover in areas, and then like I used them to pick me up if I got knocked down, but just to kind of stay out of the way, because they were kind of... Like I said, the down part is they weren't exactly the smartest AI. So in the first one, the second one, they were a little better. So I still did the same thing. So I kind of did that Soldier of Fortune thing where I ran in by myself, which for the most part I did, you know, I did really well. There's a couple times where in the, you could say pseudo boss fights, I needed them for help, but I usually just told them to open fire, and they just usually down cover fire for me so I could advance and take out the bad guys. You had little things, you had all sorts of different weapons you could use. The main thing about this game was it had a really good multiplayer, which I actually did play, which, if you know me, is a shocker because I'm not a big multiplayer or competitive multiplayer fan. But it did have one of the best co-op features in any game I've ever played, which was the fact you could play the main campaign with another player, but you had Terrace Hunt, which you could play with three of your friends. And you basically did this wave-based hunt for the bad guys inside different maps. There's casinos, there was villas, different buildings and setups. There's LVU, which is one of the which is Las Vegas University campus. There was one at a government building, I believe, too. I could look it up, but I'm not gonna. But those are really fun. I like those ones a lot. I used to play with Eric on those. Eric and Jack, with Jeff Jimenez. He was in that group too. I think Joe played with us a couple times on that too, if I'm mistaken. But super fun. It gave the player a couple different abilities throughout the game. You could use rappelling to go up and down walls. You could bust through windows. You could hang upside down. You could fast rope into areas. You had thermal vision, night vision. You had smoke grenades, regular grenades, different a variety of different weapons you could use. Really good, fun gunplay in the game too. But it was first person. But it had a cover system, so when you took cover on something, you actually went third-person view, which means you looked over the shoulder when it actually faced your character on that one. And then in Rainbow Six Vegas 2, they added a new feature where if you had the Xbox Vision camera or the PlayStation Eye, you could actually take an image of your face and put it on your character. And we did that for a while, but then I used the Guy Fox mask from V for Vendetta and mapped that as my face, so I had that on my character's face, and the game was pretty cool little feature you could do on that. But many hours playing those two games, especially Vegas 2, because the Terrace Hunt mode was actually vastly improved, and it was awesome. The game was fantastic. But, yeah, so that's Rainbow Six Vegas and Rainbow Six Vegas 2. Next up, I'll talk about Ghost Recon Wildlands. Ghost Recon Wildlands is, it is a departure from the other games in the franchise. It is also a first person shooter. Third person. This isn't a third person with an optional for first person when you did like aiming down sights, but it was all third person when you ran around, unlike a lot of the other games, because the most popular ones I would probably say were Advanced Warfighter and Advanced Warfighter 2. They took the mold of the Call of Duty games and went first person, went more technological than their counterparts in the Call of Duty realm. But were really fun games too, but they were very on rails in a way. They weren't very character or player driven, other than pushing forward and killing the enemies so they don't respawn and take your point again. But they were very fun. You had a bunch of gadgets you had in those ones too. Wildlands, you have a bunch of gadgets too. You have things like drones. You have a drone is actually your only real gadget. That's funny. I said gadgets. You had a drone that you could use to scout and tag enemies. You could even use it to blow them up. You could use it to revive your fallen allies. You could use it to distract enemies. Different things like that. You could use it to use an EMP burst to knock out communications so they couldn't call in reinforcements. You can knock out vehicles with it. It's pretty cool. Little thing. Very the Ghost Recon games were never really heavy on the stealth for the most part. There was a little bit of stealth in most of the games. This one played with that that aesthetic a lot because you were a team of four that went in, and the idea of Ghost Recon is your unknown task force that goes through and destabilizes enemy combatants in very terrible places. This one took place in the fictional world of Bolivia. I know most people are thinking, well, Cody, Bolivia is a real place. This was a fictional Bolivia with a very bad gang of drug runners and gang members, really. The Santa Blanca was the name of the gang. And you basically had to go through and work your way through the ranks of it to their leader, because he was very his presence wasn't really unknown, but you wanted to basically force his hand into letting you go about your way. So, like I was saying, with Advanced Warfighter and Future Soldier, they were a futuristic setting. They were set in a different time frame. This was more of a Wildlands was more of a modern day. So it was also a big difference because it was an open world game. It followed the kind of building blocks, I guess you say, the Division took. Division was the open world was very much very small comparison to Wildlands, because you were all in Manhattan, where in Wildlands you're in the majority of Bolivia. In these different regions, you had a mountainous region, you had snowy region, or yes, there was snow. You had swampy and lake areas. You had desert areas. You had jungle areas. Really fun traversal. The driving wasn't half bad for the most part. I was terrible at flying the helicopters and driving due to the fact that one limitation to my favorite controller I use is the Elite controller. The hair triggers don't work in vehicles, so you have to pop that off whenever you're going through, so you can accelerate because it's done by pressure. So if you want to drive faster, you slowly pull on the trigger, but with the hair trigger, you don't have that full draw, so you don't ever get up to speed. And it actually happened in the same a lot of driving games or games that went from gunplay or weapon mechanics to driving. It was you had to switch that off to do it, and I found that where I really found it was in that one game that I played with the grappling hook, Just Cause 3, because when you got in a vehicle, I could never take off in planes, and the cars already drove real slow, and I finally realized, oh, if you turn that off, if you turn the hair triggers off, you can speed up and slow down like you're supposed to. And of course that came to use the same mechanic inside the Wildlands games too, because you needed that to do what you needed to do to be able to fly a helicopter well or drive a car or vehicle well, because you could actually use the gas pedal and stuff like that. So the only limitation to the I find really to the Elite controller is the fact that you have to turn that off to make it the vehicle go faster. So that was a struggling point for me. I thought it was just super broken. But then I figured out, nope, it's just the controller making it weird. So again, the open world change in this game really helped with the replayability and the fun of venturing through this open countryside. You had the variety of vehicles. You had multiple types of cars, dune buggies, dirt bikes, helicopters. There's different boats. There's this one did not have. I don't think it was jet skis in this one. Jet skis were in Far Cry 5. Real fun. The vehicles drove pretty well. Not stupendous. The helicopters were decent once you learn to kind of fly, but like the maneuverability was a little more difficult. Dirt bikes were a death trap for sure. Dune buggies were kind of a death trap for us too. We coined a couple new phrases while playing as friends with the collateral damage crew, as we like to call ourselves. It's the term is shortcut, and it's whenever you misjudge a turn and you go off the side and you drive down the side of a cliff or down the side of a mountain, it is referred to as a shortcut. Which happened quite a lot when a certain someone was driving. Is that certain someone was Taj? So I really like this because you have to play the game kind of how you want it. You can go run and gun. You could do very stealth takedowns. You could do heavy guns, you could do lighter guns, you can do sniper rifles, you can do pistols, you can do melee, close quarter combat, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool animations when you did it too. This one did have DLC, just like a lot of the newer games. Unlike some of the games, weren't expansions, and I don't think I've ever complained about on this show, because I've never really done video games other than this month, but DLC in a lot of games is lackluster because it doesn't add to the game. It's new types of gameplay in it. And I'll get into more when I talk about The Division, but The Division had add-ons that were different ways to play the game, but it was part of the game still. So your progression, it added to your overall progression, it added to the new weapons they added, the new skills they added. They all worked in the main game as well as in the DLC. Ghost Recon's Wildlands took a different direction. They had three different post-release content for it, so the downloadable content. The first one, which was called Narco Road, basically played as a new agent, new ghost, who was infiltrating the remnants of the Santa Blanca cartel, and you were working with a guy who was an adrenaline junkie and loved stunts and being stupid and things like that. So you drove monster trucks, souped up cars, you did tricks in helicopters and on bikes on the big wheel or the monster trucks, racing, things like that. And because the control on cars was so wonky, and the fact that you hit a slight little bump and all of a sudden the car rolls or car flips or jump goes off the side of a cliff, it's just made it really unpleasant. But they added, so it was kind of interesting, but like I didn't like it that much. Then you had Fallen Ghosts, which was the second DLC pack, which I was really excited about. But then I found out that you have different skills in it that do not translate to the main game. You have new weapons, which are super dope because they gave you a crossbow that you couldn't use in the main game. You had some new close quarter combat kills that did not show up in the regular game, which is shitty, but you know, whatever. And that one was you played as a ghost. As the ghosts, as they were being extracted from Bolivia, and you were shot down, and you find out that you're basically being hunted by this new elite force known as Los Extrajeros, I think. I can't remember what it's called. Basically, you're back in Bolivia, but you're being hunted down by this rogue military force. And so you become the hunted versus the hunter. Interesting little thing they did. And the third DLC was Ghost War, which was free download for all players and was a 4v4 PvP mode, or player versus player mode, which again I don't like, so I'm not going to go for it. But one of the things I liked about the whole Wildlands thing versus like The Division, which I wish The Division would go towards, but I know why and I'll get to it in a little bit, is you can kill a lot of enemies with a single bullet versus a lot of games where they take lots of bullets, because this one's more realistic. So if you shoot someone in the face that's not wearing a face mask or any kind of armor, they usually die, and they can do it with almost any gun. Close range, long range. If you're using a sniper rifle and you hit a guy in the face with a 50 cal bullet, the dude's dead. Same thing as if you hit a 50 cal bullet in a guy with an unarmored or even sometimes armored upper body, you kill him. And that was the cool thing, is that you could take targets down with one shot, so you wouldn't get in this crazy firefights unless you killed someone in the open and then their friends saw you and they set off alarms, and you would, which got crazy sometimes. So you had that, which I really loved, and I kind of wish that other games would do that, because it's obviously more realistic, but also makes it a little more fun to do. But also the other half, people are like, oh, that makes it too easy. No, because if you make a mistake and you misfire, you miss a shot, or a body falls, or someone sees it, they call in reinforcements. All of a sudden, you're overrun by these dudes that have, like, you're outnumbered every single time, and you don't take a whole lot of damage. You take more damage than, say, the bad guys do. but not nearly as much. So if you start getting under fire quite a bit, you're fucked pretty quickly sometimes. And then they did some post, other stuff in season one or year one. There was two different add-ons that they did with added changes to the game for different things like that. Added some extra weapons in, but they did a fourth DLC, which was called Operation Watchmen, which featured Sam Fisher as a protagonist, which is the protagonist from the Splinter Cell games, which again I'll get into in a minute. That was a new little stealth action gameplay for Ghost Recon Wildlands. You got to team up with Sam Fisher and help him bring down some bad guys, which is pretty cool. And they did an event with the Predator where you actually got to go hunt down the Predator, which is pretty insane. I played that and it was really hard. I kind of wish I would have beat it, but I also wish they wouldn't. It wasn't like a time thing. I wish it was a thing that just stuck around, so you don't have to like only play it for that week and a half or whatever it was. That was kind of stupid, but I digress. Maybe I'll bring it back for the release of The Predator later on this year, and I'll be able to play it again or beat it or whatever. But yeah, that was really fun. And then they announced the year two stuff, which I haven't really gone into very much. And the first one just released today, I think. I can't remember. Or as of recording today, which is Tuesday, not Wednesday when you're hearing it. Tuesday 24th, I believe it came out. But I really didn't do it much. I was back from San Diego Comic Con, so I'm not caught up on all my other stuff other than comic book and movie stuff just yet. But yeah, that's it for Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands. On to my choice for the Splinter Cell games, which is be Conviction. Conviction was released on the Xbox 360. The all the different Microsoft platforms, a later version available mobile is on mobile devices as well, but obviously a drastically different game than the main game. It is Splinter Cell games. You play as Sam Fisher, and it's very stealth heavy. So in the game, the main objective is it each game has its own main story, but basically you play as Sam Fisher, who is super like hardcore Black Ops type thing, very much like a James Bond, Jason Bourne type scenario. But the game itself is a stealth based game, so the idea is you really do it, you really play the game out of stealth, man. You don't want to get you don't want to get your attention of your enemies, so you can take them down. But it has different things where you can shoot out lights. You can distract enemies, make them come around corners, so you can take them down silently. And then different things like that. So it's pretty cool. The game itself, the story is good. It's just good. It is really good game, a really good story. Michael Ironside plays the voice of Sam Fisher. He is in this one, right? Was it? I want to say, or was this one Keith or Sutherland too? Or Keith or Sutherland was just Blacklist? I can't remember. These two might have been Keith or Sutherland. I should probably know since I'm quoting this as my favorite game. But I played so many of them, I can't remember which ones are which when it comes to the voice acting of the characters. I don't remember if it was or not. It's either Michael Ironside or Kiefer Sutherland. I don't actually technically remember right now. It's still a really fun game. If you like stealth, not everyone's into stealth because it's not as actiony as a lot of other games. But if you really dig stealth gameplay, being sneaky and trying to figure ways out, crawling through air conditioning vents or up the side of buildings or over scaffolding and stuff like that, highly recommend these games for sure if you haven't already played them. because they are pretty fantastic. But again, if you don't like stealth games and you like the run and gun and like heavy hitters, these are not the games for you. I have many friends that have tried and they're like, I don't like them because they're slow. It's exactly what this game is. You need to be patient, which it was really hard for me to play these games, but they're so good that I had to play that way. But I'm not the greatest at these games, but I take my time and I think quickly and do them, kill people in the best way I possibly can. Pretty fun. In this one, you had downloadable content too, as well. They were in a couple different things. The content that was released was weapons, gadgets, multiplayer skins, and deniable ops maps, which are newer maps you can play through. Through the game itself, you could unlock, we can unlock all different things, like the skins and stuff. You can look like different characters and things like that instead of just looking at Sam Fisher. I guess there was only two map packs. Was there only one map pack? Can't remember what it was, but it had a couple of maps in it, and then it had the deniable ops mode that you could play through and do that too, which is pretty cool. Pretty fun little thing too. But yeah, so that's the Splinter Cell Conviction. Real fun games, like I said. And on to The Division. So, again, if you guys haven't listened to the main podcast, we did almost a full episode on this game. I played it from day one. Joe picked it up, I want to say, not much later than me, but shortly after what I did. Mike then picked it up easily a year later, some nonsense like that, or even closer. Actually, might be a year, might be less than a year, I can't remember exactly, but he joined it. Taj played it with us. Really fun game, 4-player co-op, which is the way it should be. Destiny. This one's again, it's a third person shooter. I would say it's a little tighter of a third person than some other games are. The camera's a lot lower to your character than some of the other games are. Uses a bunch of different gameplay mechanics. It's very based on a cover system that allows you to actually pivot from different locations on one. So if you're sitting next to a wall and it has a corner, you can actually go around the corner but stay in cover instead of having to get out of cover and go into it. You could go from cover to cover with their system. You could mantle over things to get to other covers, so you can advance your position more. And then you had, so that was the game mechanic in it. And then you had different skills in it, and each skill had different, each category had different skills in it. You had everything from a remote bomb that was a little rolling mine. You had a sticky bomb, which is a bomb that had a sticky end that you stuck to objects or people, and then you could blow up remotely. You had turrets. You had health packs you could drop, and it would regenerate health over time, and as well as help with ammo. You had the turret was a machine gun, a stun gun thing, as well as a flamethrower, which is the best one ever. Thanks, Joe. And whoever Joe saw a video of using it, drastically helped slow him down. You also had like a portable cover system you can deploy that you could block off doorways, so you can make them harder for enemies to get across, but also give you cover when you're out in the open. So if you can kind of make your own vantage point, you can be on the open and put it down and get cover. You had a shield, a ballistic shield you could pull out and use with a combination of pistols and submachine guns. Varying different weapons, everything from pistols, automatic pistols, submachine guns, light machine guns, AR rifles or assault rifles, marksman rifles, shotguns, varying types, semi-automatic, pump action, fully automatic if you got one of the better ones. You had sawed-off shotguns as sidearms. You had, I think it was really it for those. Yeah, if that was it for that. The game itself is you are, the Division is a new thing they brought into the Tom Clancy realm, which I don't think was ever a thing outside of or inside of in the novels. But it basically you are one of agents, as they call them, from the Division, which is a shadow organization inside our government made of essentially civilians, but highly trained civilians in a shadow organization that can be called on in dire needs to normally go on mission somewhere else, but this time it happens to be a local one in the States. This game takes place in Manhattan in New York, in the state of New York, on the island of Manhattan. The big thing about this is it was one of the very first open world games outside of for Ubisoft, outside of the Assassin's Creed games, which are very open world. This one allowed you to have different mission areas, different enemy types. There were, if I remember correctly, four different factions of enemies. There was the rioters, which were just regular people who used riots, and they were, you know, gang members and things like that. You had the cleaners, which were a group of people who brought upon themselves to eradicate the disease, the infected, using flamethrowers and disposing of it that way. You had the Rikers, which were prisoners who escaped from Rikers Island during this virus attack, killed all their guards and escaped to Manhattan outside of Rikers Island, which I thought would have been cool if you would have been able to go to Rikers Island, but whatever, you know, that never happened. And then you have the LMB, or the Last Man Battalion, which is a group of some military, some police force, and I think regular people too. They basically brought upon themselves to make a new military force to help eradicate everybody who opposed them and help them regain order, but under their own right, of the city of Manhattan. So you're brought in shortly after everything goes to shit on Christmas Day, on Black Friday, when a virus is set loose that basically it's a super flu. It's a mix between smallpox and the flu virus. And spread very quickly, killing people. Some people are immune. You happen to be one of them. But caused a huge stirrup, which lost basically the city, and the government lost control of Manhattan, and they sealed it off trying to keep the infection inside. But then, because of these four groups inside, the rioters, the cleaners, the Rikers, and the LMB, basically tipped the scales and overrun the military that was spread thin anyways, and then what they call the JTF, or Joint Task Force, which is again, it's kind of like what the LMD was, but made of actual government workers. So policemen, firefighters, military, and I think that's really it that makes the JTF, the Joint Task Force. And you're basically brought in to help the JTF take back control of Manhattan. The only down part to this game is there's two, but one is never going to go away because it's a game design choice, which is called the dark zone, which is a lawless zone in the north part of Manhattan that's been blocked off even more so and kind of left on its own devices. And when you go in there, it's a PvP zone. It has changed quite a bit from what it was. But when you went in there, it was a free for all. Anybody could kill anybody. So regular agents could go rogue and kill you and take your stuff, which really pissed me off. And so I never really went in there. It's changed over the years and through subsequent updates that they heard the complaints about regular people. People don't want to be forced into PvP, but want to get better loot and better stuff to play through the game And so that was the one thing I didn't like. The other thing I didn't like is the fact that it really took so many bullets to take enemies down when it shouldn't, because it is an RPG style game. So it's an action role playing game. So the better stats you have and the better weapons you have and the better gear you have, the more powerful you are. Like I said, with Wildlands, if I shoot someone in the face and they have nothing blocking their face, like with armor versus like a scarf or like a balaclava, the little ski mask thing, which a bullet will punch right through, no problem, and continue through until it finds massive higher volume to stop it, or at least distribute the force on and watch a bullet bounce off of it or whatever. I'm pretty sure I mentioned that the wrong way. It's probably not like, it's not mass. It's just whatever. It doesn't matter. But in this game, you can shoot a guy in the face with a 45 caliber bullet out of a light machine gun or out of a submachine gun. And you would think like one bullet, A, hit him in the face. If it didn't kill him, it would probably make him think twice. Now he just keeps running at you with a bat or whatever, or shotgun, whatever. It kind of pissed me off. But they've done a really good job of fixing that too. But it is a really fun game. It was very frustrating for a while because of the fact that you'd get to higher levels and these dudes who have armor, air quotes, they have armor. I'm not saying they don't have armor, but they're armored enemies. They're supposed to be a little more difficult. Take loads of, like, literally 5 or 6 clips to just kill these people, and it was just, like, ridiculous. I can unload an MG-36, which is a very high, powerful rifle, a fully automatic assault rifle, unload it into a guy, and a single clip of, like, 35 to 60 bullets don't drop him, which is ridiculous. But because there's an RPG and there has to be a scaling of damage, that's how they got around it, which really made some people turn away from this game because it's like, it's just so hard to kill people. And they worked on it. The time to kill is the big thing that people complained about because it took so long to kill a single type of enemy when it shouldn't because of the high power bullets you're using. Like if you shoot someone in the face with a hunting rifle that's used to bring down animals, like a normal one shot bullet, and they take 3 or 4 in the head to kill them, it gets kind of frustrating. But anyways, it's a fun game. The narrative's not very long. It's not very in depth, but it's a fun little thing. Kind of, if you go through and listen to all the different stuff they added in with the phone calls you pick up, the phones you pick up, and the different things that the characters say, and all these different like letter fragments and police reports you find you throughout the game, really kind of broaden the world and kind of see how your presence has affected the overall world that you're playing in, as well as the disease and what's going on, and who's behind everything, and why it was done the way it was. So pretty fun little time there. But by far one of my favorite games of all time. We are back to playing it again because of the new getting ready ramp up for the second one, which comes out in March. I said February earlier, it's March. Because they added a new system called Shields in the first game, which really adds to the replayability of the game, which makes you, I don't want to use the term grind, but do different activities multiple times for to unlock things for the next game. And they're nothing crazy. They're just like, as of right now, we know of are things like gun skins, skins for your backpacks, emotes, charms, little, like one of them is an American flag that hangs off your backpack, customizable things like that. Nothing crazy. So far, they haven't released any like, get this gun earlier or get a double XP for, you know, this, whatever. So far, that's all it is, but it's pretty cool the way they do it. But yeah, so far, so fun. I really highly recommend it. Ugh, excuse me. Good Lord. If you want to try it out, if you play on Xbox, there's a thing called Game Pass, if you haven't heard about it. It is a subscription service that basically gives you access to a couple hundred games a month for $10. And just recently, as of June, The Division was added to that. Now, in this, I'm going to give you a preface. It does not include DLC unless they make that free, which they have not yet done. So you get the main game and all the the added perks and the weapons that aren't, or in areas that aren't included in the DLC. The DLC is the Underground, which one of the ones that is included in it is the West Side Pier, because it was a free update for everybody, so that expands the map and gives you a new play area in it. But the three DLCs or add-ons to it, which are the Underground, which is a dungeon-based random rolled activity game, the Last Man Standing, and Survival. Those ones are the DLC ones. You have to pay for the DLC to get those, which I think is like now it's super cheap if you want to get it. But if you want to try the game and just get ready, you don't have to have really anything else other than just the main game to get ready for the most part for Division 2, which comes out in March. But if you want to check it out, you can do a free trial of Game Pass. Again, not a sponsor, which is a cool way of doing it if you play on Xbox. But you can do a free 2-week trial of Game Pass to try out The Division, as well as Fallout 4 and a bunch of other games that are on there. But if you want to play The Division and check it out before the second comes out, it is cheap. It's like $20 to buy the main game, or if you want to try it on part of Game Pass, you can do the 2-week trial or 1 month for $9.99, and you can play a bunch of pretty awesome games. But the two best ones, are actually three best ones, because they added Rocket League on there too, would be Fallout 4, Rocket League, and of course The Division. But that's it for this week's episode of The Awesome with Cody. Again, this wraps up July's theme of awesome video game franchises. We were talking about Tom Clancy games, and that's it. I would like to two quick things. What I'm reading, what I read in the last week, there's a lot because Comic-Con just happened, but your main ones are going to be Ryan Otley and Nick Spencer's Amazing Spider-Man, or I should say Nick Spencer and Ryan Otley's Amazing Spider-Man. They start with number one, amazing arts, amazing writing. Nick Spencer, I've talked about on this podcast before, because he writes one of my favorite graphic novels of all time, along with one of my favorite artists of all time, Christian Ward, which is Infinite Vacation. But Nick Spencer's an amazing dude, amazing writer. He did piss off a lot of people because of what he did with Captain America, but I knew he was going to bring it back, and he did in a very amazing way. But check that out. That was really fun. Farmhand, which is the new Rob Guillory, written in, drawn, and illustrated by Rob Guillory. He's the guy who did Chew, which I talked about before on this podcast. That one's a really fun one. And then I think that was it for main books this week. The new Superman book by Brian Michael Bendis has set up a lot of weird stuff, and I don't know where it's going yet, so I can't really. I mean, I can recommend it. It's a really good. It's good, but it's not something new and fresh you're gonna jump into. It's got a lot of stuff going on it, but that's really it for that. If you want to hear more about Comic-Con, tune into this Friday's episode of the main podcast, the Comes Naturally podcast with Mike and Joe. I will be going over a bunch of stuff that I saw. We will talk about a bunch of trailers on there. And the second thing I want to bring up is I had a lot of you requesting a theme that I am officially going to announce for next month, for the month of August, which is going to be music. I'm going to do, I believe it's four Wednesdays. Actually, I can tell you right now. I should have looked it up. I had the list already done. But for August, the month of August, I'll be doing music, and there is, I'm sorry, it's five Wednesdays. So, oh yeah, I thought about that. Yeah, I thought about it already. So I've, instead of doing what I originally was going to do with my first music, shows was I was going to talk about, music that are bands that, influenced me throughout my life. What I'm going to do instead, and it was a thought I had while talking to somebody, Comic-Con, was I'm going to pick five bands and talk about each one of those bands, and they're my top five bands, so you'll get a little insight on those, what I was going to do before, but I'll talk about their different albums, how they impacted me throughout my life, how I got into them, and things like that each week. Starting next week, we're going to start off the ground with the Aquabats. They are one of my all-time favorite bands. I'll get into more of that next week. But beginning next month, a highly requested theme from you guys, because everyone knows I'm really big into music, is my five favorite bands that influenced me and changed the way I listen to music. So more of that next week. But that's it for this week's episode. And the end of July's theme of fantastic or amazing, awesome video game franchises. And I am... I'm your host, Cody, and this is The Awesome Cody, and as usual, let's be awesome.